From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Coming up later in the program, we'll be talking about the apartment collapse in Davenport in the Quad Cities and how the community is dealing with the aftermath. But first, this is Pride Month, and with every year that passes, the rainbow flags and merchandise and everything else that goes with it seems to get more noticeable than the year before. But this year, 2023, marks possibly the most uncertain environment for Pride Month in quite some time. LGBTQ people, especially those who are transgender, have faced hundreds of bills in legislatures across the country limiting their rights, from what bathrooms they can use to even the medical care they receive. It's enough that the LGBTQ advocacy group, the Human Rights Campaign, declared a national emergency for all queer people in the United States. Meanwhile, many companies in recent years have gotten in on the Pride action with merchandise, advertisements, and more. But what's been different this year is the level of blowback some brands have gotten over that. When the Bud Light beer brand partnered with a transgender influencer, Dylan Mulvaney, earlier this year, the backlash from conservatives built up quickly. Many vowed to boycott parent company Anheuser-Busch. And when the company moved to distance itself from its partnership with Mulvaney, it riled up parts of the LGBTQ community who felt betrayed by the lack of support. And then there's also Target. The company put up Pride displays, as it's done every year for some time now, in stores across the country. But anger and some misinformation around the merchandise collection and some of the products in it led to its own wave of conservative backlash. And before Pride Month even started, the company announced it would be pulling some parts of its collection from its stores. Again, LGBTQ groups and people condemned Target for doing what it did. Here to help us unpack what's going on today and how it fits into the history of corporate pride, we're joined by Tracy Bame. She's the former publisher of the Chicago Reader and the owner and co-founder of the LGBTQ newspaper Windy City Times. Tracy, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is the CEO of the LGBTQ advocacy group Equality Illinois, Brian Johnson. Brian, thank you for joining us.
It's nice to be here. Happy Pride.
And while she couldn't join us live, I did speak earlier this morning with State Representative Kelly Cassidy, who represents parts of the north side of Chicago in the Illinois House of Representatives. She had put out a joint statement with State Senator Mike Simmons late last month. And in that statement, the two openly LGBTQ legislators say that Target's move in particular sends the wrong message. We'll hear some excerpts from my conversation with her earlier this morning throughout our conversation today. And you can join us live now by calling in at 800-222-9455. How do you feel about corporate pride? What thoughts do you have on the response of brands to this conservative backlash over support for LGBTQ community and people? That number again, 800-222-9455. And I should note, finally, we did reach out to Target and Anheuser-Busch asking for comment and seeing if they might be willing to join our conversation. Neither company responded to us. All right, Tracy Bame, I'm going to begin with you. You've been in the world of media for some time now, and I just want to take a step back. How have you seen the landscape evolve over the years in terms of how companies support LGBTQ communities?
Well, a lot of this came out of employees and employee resource organizations within companies. Starting in kind of the mid to late 1990s, there were a lot more LGBT people coming out in the workplace, in all kinds of workplaces in corporate America, including those that are consumer brand focused. And the Human Rights Campaign started to rate corporations based on their policies, especially their internal policies for employees. And so there seemed to be a big uptick of participation in prides, et cetera, starting in the 1990s. In the 1980s, forget it. Most corporations stayed way far away from the movement. And ones that started to tiptoe into it first were IBM, and especially a lot of beverage companies like Absolut Vodka, some of the tourism a little bit were tippy-toeing, like American Airlines, et cetera. A lot of them would come in and then leave for a while, come back. And again, a lot of that was because of who the employees were and what they were advocating for their companies to be doing. So IBM's early ads in the gay press were about their openly gay employees and how their policies were shifting to be more inclusive. So that was really the turning point, was really the mid to late 90s.
Brian, I want to ask you about this. So, I mean, we have these pride collections, these advertisements. They're pretty visible ways of showing support. But to what extent do you see companies sort of materially supporting LGBTQ communities as well?
I think there's a wide range. I mean, certainly there are a number of companies that are making sure that queer people are not just consumers to be kowtowed to, but our senior leaders in their organizations, on their boards of directors, you know, making sure that policies, everything from benefits to accommodations, are affirming of queer people. Certainly they're there. You know, I would say there's a long way to go. I mean, just as an example, in the state of Illinois recently, we just, not Equality Illinois, but the state just put out data it collected to say that of all the corporations which are certified here in the state by the state, only 4 of them have out LGBTQ plus people on their boards of directors. So there's a lot more for the broader corporate sector in our state and in our country to do to make sure that LGBTQ plus people are equitably and affirmingly represented.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Pride and Pride Month and corporate support for people who are LGBTQ, and also the backlash that some companies have faced because of that support. And I mentioned earlier this morning, I spoke with State Representative Kelly Cassidy, who's one of the few openly LGBTQ lawmakers in Illinois government. She couldn't join us live today, but we did speak with her, and I want to share some of what she said. We asked her first about the difference that corporate pride can make, especially when there are frustrations in the LGBTQ community about what might be called rainbow capitalism. Let's listen to what she said.
You know, there are certainly examples of where, you know, corporate America or corporations or the business community have been genuine allies and genuinely helpful. You know, I think about the fight for marriage equality as a great example here in Illinois. We had a really robust coalition of statewide business leaders who you know, stepped up and made very public statements and were very actively engaged in whipping votes to pass that bill. That said, you know, as you called it out, you know, whether you call it pinkwashing or rainbow marketing or any of those things, allies are only as strong as they are when things are hard. And so I continue to come back to, we're all we got.
So we're all we got is what Representative Cassidy said. Tracy, I want to delve a little bit more into what's happening now. For some of these companies to get blowback for doing these pride campaigns, that, I guess, in and of itself isn't unusual. There's always been an element of that. But what's different this year?
Well, let me go back a little bit to an example of a corporation with a backbone. In 2006, I was involved in the effort to bring the Gay Games to Chicago. And the year prior, Kraft announced a very small, benign, really, partnership with the Gay Games. It was through an employee resource group. It was a grant of $25,000. But when, at the summer of 2005, there was a huge boycott announced of Kraft, Walgreens, and a small community bank in Chicago for their efforts in supporting these Gay Games, a sporting tournament, right? And a senior leadership ally at Kraft, a man named Firestone, he wrote an incredible support letter to his company that was external as well, that said they were gonna stand by their gay employees and they were gonna stand by this partnership. As a result, the Gay Games did not lose any corporate sponsorship. The media covered it in a way that showed that a company standing by its gay employees as well as its gay consumers was doing the right thing. Now, in 2010, Target faced another backlash. They had been supportive of the gay community, and they then also gave money to right-wing causes. And so they faced I remember covering a picket at Target in 2010 for this same kind of wishy-washy approach to supporting the movement. So now in 2023, the country is facing this huge backlash in terms of legislation, and corporations, a few of them anyway, are acting a little bit wishy-washy. And that is never going to work once you have made the commitment to be inclusive on whatever community you're talking about, it is the worst public relations disaster to then try to walk that back or compromise like Budweiser is doing and Target. You have to stay firm for your employees and the people that like you, or you'll, to me, you never really are convincing anybody that you're doing the right thing, anybody on either side of this, and you're going to be on the wrong side of history multiple ways. So this isn't new, this kind of backlash, but standing up to the bigots has usually proven, as far as I can tell, is usually the best way to go, because otherwise you really aren't going to please anybody.
You know, that does call to mind another thing that Representative Cassidy said this morning. We asked her specifically about Anheuser-Busch and Target. Let's listen to what she had to say about that.
I am grateful when mainstream corporations step up. I am sadly unsurprised when they fold like a cheap suit at the first challenge. And, you know, I think that we all just have to be a little more clear-eyed about what it means when Anheuser-Busch does something, or when Target steps up and does something. You know, I will say that in the case of Target, this one, and I guess the Anheuser-Busch one falls into the same category, right? Somebody made a marketing decision to go really hard in our favor, right? And didn't contemplate what that backlash might look like and whether they were going to be able to stand up to that. And that speaks to what their motivation was, right? Their motivation was not to actually mainstream trans-friendly clothing, right? Their motivation was to signal to us that they were really there with us. And when they got pushback, they ran and hid and they left us holding the bag, you know? And this is particularly dangerous right now. You know, in my lifetime, the idea that we have travel advisories and homeland security warnings about danger to our community, if you're going to be with us, you better caught myself there. You better really mean it, because our lives are on the line now.
Brian, let me ask you about that with Equality Illinois. Brian Johnson, CEO of Equality Illinois. Representative Cassidy says, you know, maybe these companies are not showing backbone when it really counts. What do you think about that? Is this just marketing? Is it pinkwashing from these companies? Or do you see firms that are actually trying to, you know, take a position, being a true ally?
I mean, undoubtedly, there are firms who are willing to stand with us when it is difficult. But I'll just say, like, what Target has done, what Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch have done is worse than being wishy-washy, right? It has emboldened the most violent extremists and said, all you have to do to any company in America is to say, you will threaten our profitability, you will threaten our stores, and we will cave. And that will just mean that every company who tries to support LGBTQ plus people will face even greater threats of violence. I'll also say, you know, Target is exercising an option that queer people don't have, right? A couple of weeks ago, my daughter came home from school to see a homophobic slur on our sidewalk. We don't have the option to be less queer, right? We don't have the option to pull back our LGBTQ plus identity or support as a queer family. And so what the Targets and Anheuser-Busch's of the world have shown us is that, you know, they are not in solidarity with us in ways when it matters most.
Do you, Brian, do you see social media misinformation playing a role in this, you know, backlash that we're seeing out there? And how, what do you do about that?
I mean, if I had the answer to what we do about that, I think both political parties would be paying me a lot of money. Look, I don't know. I mean, what I can say is that social media amplifies the fringe here and makes it seem more prevalent in every day. And so I would just encourage retailers and corporations that are looking to stand up for the LGBTQ plus community to not over dial on what they're seeing on social media. And there are other options, you know, that they can exercise. You know, you can make sure that there is greater training of your employees. You can make sure that security guards in your stores are taught in de-escalation. You can make sure that you are rallying the community behind you and in support of you. But caving due to a social media campaign or, you know, even, you know, plausible threats of violence is only going to make this worse.
All right, we're going to take a break on the program. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about Pride. And a few years ago, we had a conversation on this show, actually before I was the host, about sort of a backlash to Pride on the left and this idea of pinkwashing or rainbow capitalism. Were companies really being sincere about their pink logos that they would put up in the month of June? And, you know, were they following through the rest of the year? And this year we've seen a backlash from the right to some of these companies. And we're talking about the way those companies are responding to that with Tracy Baim, who is a former publisher of the Chicago Reader and an owner and co-founder of the Windy City Times newspaper. Also, Brian Johnson, who is the CEO of the LGBTQ plus advocacy group called Equality Illinois. We're also hearing excerpts from a conversation I had this morning with State Representative Kelly Cassidy, who is a Democrat from Chicago. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. More on Pride when we return. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking this morning about Pride and companies and what some have called pinkwashing or rainbow capitalism in a sort of derogatory way, and how companies are now responding to a backlash from the right. We've seen Target and Anheuser-Busch sort of pulling back on their previous merchandising decisions and marketing decisions. And we're talking about all this with Brian Johnson, who's the CEO of the LGBTQ advocacy group Equality Illinois. Also, Tracy Baim, who is owner and co-founder of the LGBTQ newspaper Windy City Times, also a former publisher at the Chicago Reader. And we're listening also to excerpts from a conversation I had earlier this morning in order to make our schedules meet with State Representative Kelly Cassidy, who is a Democrat and represents the north side of parts of the north side of Chicago in the Illinois House of Representatives. Brian, I want to ask you to just talk about the effects that all of this is, this sort of backlash this year, is having on morale among people who are LGBTQ that you talk to, right? As I mentioned, there's this, you know, sort of skepticism some people have had about corporate pride. To see these companies being threatened and walk back that support in response, how do you see people responding to this?
Well, I'll say our morale is by and large pretty good because we do not rely on the affirmations of corporations to let us know whether or not we should celebrate our own dignity. I am seeing at street festivals across the state. I am seeing at Pride kickoff celebrations. I'm seeing at community group conversations that queer people are emboldened, we feel powerful, and we know the source of our dignity and joy comes from within. That being said, I would say we are increasing an already high level of skepticism on corporate support, and we're willing to take a second and third look at businesses when they say that they are champions of us to see how deep that support really goes.
Let's take a listen to another excerpt of my conversation with State Representative Kelly Cassidy. Where this is the third soundbite numbered in our system there. Steve, roll tape on that, please.
Where we are right now is more fraught than I have ever seen it. You know, and let's be clear, what that really amounts to is that people like me in mainstream communities who are white and cis are finally facing some of the same dangers that our trans siblings and our siblings of color have faced pretty universally. You know, when we talk about, you know, becoming mainstreamed, we didn't all get there together. You know, I remember when we passed the marriage equality bill, and I, in my speech at the signing, I said, you know, we don't get to take our wedding cake and go home. We have to stand up for everybody. And I think I see within my community, even, you know, now a hesitance to stand up for those who are most targeted.
Oh, that's interesting. You're talking about, you know, you do see that sometimes, that discussion of like the divide between the LGB and the TQ, et cetera, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that just makes this corporate issue even more stark, right? Who are they speaking to when they step up? They're primarily speaking to the folks with means, with money to buy their products. And so when the folks that aren't the people with the money to buy their products are the target, it's real easy to walk away and pretend it doesn't affect you, but it affects all of us.
No pun intended there, I'm sure, from Representative Cassidy. Tracy Bain, what do you think about that? Do you see that divide affecting the community, the LGBTQ, maybe the LGB on one side and the TQ plus not getting the support they would like to see from others?
The hardest thing I've ever covered in my 39 years of the movement is how divided our community is. And that is along racial lines, class lines, geography lines, and certainly along gender identity and other lines. There are definitely people, cisgender people, who do not see the T as part of our movement. There was a study that came out recently, though, that it's still very high percentage of our movement is inclusive on the T issue and the non-binary. Somewhere like 96% of lesbians, cisgender lesbians, are supportive of that. So I do think that while it's a small percentage, it's troubling. I think the other lines of divisions along class and race are much more impermeable and allow corporations to kind of divide us as well into the well-off and to the not so well-off. So I've always been very skeptical of the corporations. I think what scares me most now, 39 years into this, is while the 80s, there was this struggle of HIV/AIDS and getting equitable treatment and all that kind of stuff. Most people were coming out in later, in college or later, because they didn't have even the thought of being out at home in earlier years. These days, we have gender identity issues coming out in families in 5-6 years old, in sexual orientation in 10, 11, 12 year olds, and they are willing to be out. And families are much more supportive in general, not always. So that there's more people out there advocating and speaking out at much younger ages, and families are speaking out about their young children. That puts them at a much more vulnerable point than prior generations of LGBTQ people who were, you know, embedded in that closet for a very long time, which cost them psychologically. And so to me, the fear is that we have families and young adults who are being seen now by these and used very cynically by right-wing politicians. Now that they got rid of abortion, now they're targeting trans people very cynically for purposes of fundraising, et cetera. And yet the cost is so high. So to me, it's very, very scary what's happening. Illinois is a bastion of incredible laws, thanks to Brian and Equality Illinois and Kelly Cassidy and other legislators. We have an incredible state here that can be a place where people can come to, but we should never make people feel like they have to leave their home state. And that's what people in Florida and Texas and other places are feeling they have to do to protect their families, their children, who are very vulnerable right now to horrible laws.
Brian, do you want to respond to any of that?
Let me just add, Brian said, corporations backtracking empowers the people that want to kill us, that they're on the right track. So Brian said so well, this is the price they're willing to we're paying for these corporations not having the backbone to stick up for us.
I think the last thing I'll say is, you know, today is June 12th, the 7th anniversary, I believe, of the Pulse nightclub shooting, which was one of the largest mass murders in American history, and certainly the largest one to target queer people, targeting almost exclusively queer people of color. So this conversation about who is willing to stand up for us when violence comes for us is just deeply personal and salient, and something we take very seriously.
Brian Johnson is CEO of Equality Illinois. Tracy Baim is the owner and co-founder of Windy City Times. Brian and Tracy, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.